Hello, welcome to the Cosmic Eye Show. It's Emmett Fox Friday. Hope everyone is doing well. I have Mr. Chris Sheridan on the line. How are you, Chris?
Hot and dry.
Hot and dry, indeed.
We had a fire about 5 or 6 miles from here, and it was smoky and it was hot, and fire's out and smoke's away, but to dry heat.
Well, that's what they say. Well, that's appropriate. The fires were nearby because I'm glad they didn't get to your area. I hope everyone's all right there in California. But our subject today in Find and Use Your Inner Power, the Emmett Fox book that we're working through each week, is called Swing Doors to Hell. I just realized Swing Doors to Hell kind of sounds like a horror movie or something. Swing Doors to Hell. I like that title, Swing Doors to Hell. So that's a fun one. That is what we're getting.
A Motorhead song.
Yeah, something, right? Yeah. Something. Something rock. There's something vaguely rock and roll about Swing Doors to Hell, isn't there?
Well, maybe it's like Benny Goodman or something. I don't know. With a swing aspect.
There you go. Nice. We're taking it way back. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. So that is our subject today, titled Swing Doors to Hell, as I said. And we'll see why that is in a moment. I'm going to start. Then Chris is gonna finish it up, and then we'll talk about it as we do each week. I want to thank you for joining us each week here on Friday for the Emmett Fox Friday Show on the Cosmic Eye Show. Also, check out the Sunday show if you're a new listener. We have a new episode up every Sunday as well, and our Sunday shows are a bit longer. They're about an hour, a little bit more. Whereas these Emmett Fox shows are about 20-25 minutes usually at the most, so we try to kind of pack a lot into these, but they're usually a single idea that we focus on and that Emmett Fox focuses on in his wonderful book. So I can't recommend this book highly enough, Find and Use Your Inner Power, Emmett Fox. So check that out if you get a chance. All right, so I'm going to start reading, and then Chris will take it up. Both heaven and hell are states of consciousness, the net resultant of our beliefs and feelings at any time. Formerly, people thought that both heaven and hell were places where one went after death, and nowadays, many people seem to think that neither heaven nor hell exist at all. The truth is that both hell and heaven do exist, but are states of mind, and we experience them right here on this earth now. When you have a true peace of mind, when you have true peace of mind and an adequate understanding of life, you are already in heaven. And when you are full of fear, anxiety, hatred, or physical pain, you are in hell. The conventional descriptions of both places are but an attempt to provide symbolical pictures of states of mind.
Whether you are to live in hell or in heaven depends solely upon the kind of thinking you indulge in all day long. Unfortunately, you can, by taking a little trouble, train yourself to make heaven-like thinking a constant habit. The doors of hell are swing doors. There are no locks or fastenings upon them. They swing in or out at a push, and you can go inside anytime you choose to do so, and by the same token, you can also come out again anytime you choose. The way out of hell is to begin thinking thoughts of health, happiness, and success at this very moment, and to keep it up hour after hour and day after day, in spite of all appearances. If only you will do this with determination, you will be through the swing doors and out of your difficulties before you know what has happened.
Amen. So Amen. What popped up in my head as you were reading that, when you said the doors of hell are swing doors, that particular line, I was remembering like those doors on saloons in like a Western. If you've ever seen a Western, and I know you have, but I'm saying to our listeners, if they've ever seen an old Western movie where the saloon has those kind of doors that swing in and out, they don't lock, they don't really shut, they're just kind of like there. They don't even cover usually the whole frame of the door. There's, like he says, there's no locks or fastenings upon them. It's almost like one of those doors that might go into a restaurant where you see waiters and waitresses going in and out of. So it's a swing door. It comes and goes. And such a great symbol for that idea that these states of mind, they don't lock us into any particular point of view. They don't lock us into any particular experience. They seem like they're doors. They look like doors, but they're not doors in the sense that we're locked in and there's no key to get out. They're swing doors. You know, and the swing doors of heaven are swing doors as well, I think, is you know, the converse of the swing doors to hell idea. So either way, you know, you're really free to come and go. And you're only limited by your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions and the states of mind that you consciously cultivate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And that's a very, important point about these being states of mind instead of a place or a punishment or, you know, what's the old saying? If you find yourself in hell, keep moving, keep going. You know, to kind of like come out the other side. You have to go through hell. You don't have to kind of come out the other side.
Sure.
Or something like that. But it's real in that it can feel real and it can have real consequence. This pain and disruption and, anger, anxiety. That's hell-like. And you're trapped in that as long as you think that. Because that's a state of mind, but states of mind can get habituated. And if you're constantly thinking something one way or the other, it becomes kind of real.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter how many months or years you've been thinking a certain way and really perpetuating this state of mind and making it real in your life, you can, with a thought, with a shift in your state of consciousness, move in a different direction. And you have to be persistent. That's something that but we kind of are anyway.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's negative or positive, whatever we're doing, it's, you know, we generally have reinforced these things over time, but it doesn't take as much time to get out of something as maybe it took to get in it. You may be in this hell state of consciousness for 10 years or something, but you know, in 10 weeks you could be out of it.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I think one of the things too that I think is so important about this is like, this is such a great line that he says in here, and you talked about this before we started recording this when we were first speaking. But this is such a big deal. So he says, the way out of hell is to begin thinking thoughts of health, happiness, and success at this very moment. And to keep it up hour after hour, day after day, in spite of all appearances, in spite of all appearances. And he doesn't say, like you pointed out, he doesn't say in spite of reality or in spite of what's actually going on. He says in spite of all appearances. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not experiencing those appearances. His point is, though, that they're appearances and they're not, you know, the only possibility of reality with a capital R that exists. They're an appearance that you're experiencing at that moment or for a short period of time or what have you, and they can be changed. Now, even if, and see, this is where one of the challenges people might bring up to New Thought and think, well, this is all well and good when you have your liberty and you have your freedom to move about and so on. But then let's say, what if you're, for example, locked up in jail or prison, you know, against your will, and it's not your fault and you didn't do anything wrong, for example. And, you know, you'd say, well, if I'm, you know, thinking, I'm, you know, what's the difference of how I think about it if I'm stuck somewhere I don't want to be? Well, it makes a great deal of difference, is the point, because you can create a state of mind whereby, you know, that period of time of suffering is, you know, completely turned into a hell on earth, or you can make the best of a situation and be treating yourself and working towards, you know, your rightful liberty and, you know, freedom from that situation. There's a difference between liberty and freedom. You have to remember. So this freedom that he's talking about and this idea of states of consciousness, that's freedom. That's an inner freedom. So that even if temporarily your liberty is taken away, you can still have freedom in the mind. You know, maybe you're in a hospital bed for a period of time and it's not by your choosing. You know, you can still have a freedom to create thoughts, states of mind, of health, of happiness, of success, of love, of joy, of, you know, of your future states and so on. that are going to help you to move towards that and help you to create that reality out of those, you know, seeming appearances. You know, it doesn't, again, it doesn't mean that appearances are not something we're not experiencing, but it means that they're not ultimately real. And by ultimately, I mean fundamentally real, spiritually real, right?
Right. And the, you know, realityness, or the, I guess, you know, hardness of these things as appearing very, very real is based on how and to the degree to which you harbor those feelings and those thoughts. And it's a great distinction you're making between freedom and liberty. Yes, you could be in a sick body, in a hospital, like you said. You could be imprisoned, enslaved, held hostage in a faraway land. You have very few liberties. You may have very few choices of things to do. You're under a repressive, oppressive regime. But the freedom to think and to feel and to imagine a different reality or a different appearance of reality really depends on you, whether or not you choose to go along with that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I'm, you know, in this oppressive relationship or something, and that's just the way it is, and I'm stuck here. Well, you might be stuck there now for a period of time. Maybe it's been a long period of time that you've been there. But you can't give up the idea of a better way, like India in the 20th century being under British rule. Well, they're, you know, we're a colony of the British Empire, and they determine, you know, our commerce and our interactions and how we move about in society. No, somebody, a lot of people, but one in particular, Gandhi, had another vision.
Yeah.
He knew that this wasn't it, even though it was very, the effects of it were very real. So this appearance, it appears because it's been constructed, because thought and energy have gone into, and sometimes the actions of others and ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
To make this, but it can be made into something else, and it may take time. And you may still be imprisoned or under some, you know, oppression for a period of time. But that's how you get out of those things. That's how you get out of a state of health, of sickness into healthiness, is that you keep, and like he says, every hour, every day, day after day.
Yeah.
You need to think healthy body, healthy body, healthy body.
Sure.
Or success or happiness. Well, but I'm unhappy. Well, okay. Maybe you're in a condition or a position that makes you very unhappy.
Yeah.
As well it should. Maybe it's a bad situation.
Sure.
But you have the freedom to imagine and to dream and to energize it with not just your thoughts in your head, but the emotions of your heart, and feel what it's like to be free of this.
Mm-hmm.
We all have that capacity to dream. And if, I guess if we lose that, then, or we don't utilize that capacity. I think we all have it. But if whatever reason we feel like we don't have it or can't use it or it's not going to do any good,
yeah,
or we don't do it in a vibrant enough way, well, then, you know, things will probably just stay pretty much as they are. But we have that innate capacity. That's how great things happen. That's how stories are written and movies are made and inventions are contrived, and you know, it all comes from the imagination.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, you know, we live in a coal, steam-powered train, horse and buggy world. You know, well, somebody thought about cars.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And
yeah,
dream that into existence, as Dr. Alberto Villoldo is fond of saying.
Nice.
Dream the world into being.
And again, it doesn't mean that those appearances and conditions that you're living in are always going to support your inner world right away. But the beauty of it is that, you know, and is that, you know, for example, if you are, you know, if your liberty has been taken away, or find yourself locked up, or you know, or, you know, hospitalized or something has taken that away temporarily for you, you know, claiming to yourself interiorly and understanding that you are fundamentally free. You know, I am free. I'm a divine child of God. I'm, you know, I'm wonderfully made. And, you know, these kinds of sort of statements that you might make to yourself help you to reconnect with that vision of yourself as something bigger, so that you're not buying what the appearances are trying to tell you. You just rise above them. And it's oftentimes miraculous what can happen when you don't buy into what the circumstances or the system or what the world outside is trying to tell you, how you can be this exception to the rule, quote unquote, or some, you know, lucky thing will happen to you, according to your friends who don't understand this new thought, mind science, and, you know, prayer stuff. Or, you know, something happens that just seems like it's, oh, you know, wow, that was a coincidence. And so on, you know, and these are how oftentimes miracles unfold. You know, they come through a series of strange events or synchronicities, as Jung would call them, a weird happenstance, you know, blind luck, quote unquote. But these things will happen. And the other side of it is like, if you are, like I said, like something's been taken away, or, you know, you're under this oppressive system some way, or you find yourself, you know, where your liberties and so on are being impeded on, or, you know, this kind of thing. If you don't hold on to that true freedom, that spiritual freedom within yourself, and you look to the outside for your bearings and your moorings, and, you know, like, well, this is reality. This is what keeps me centered. This is what keeps me strong. These things around me, the system around me and all that stuff, you know, you're going to be crushed by that system. You know, but if you turn it around and say, no, look, I'm free, and this is what I desire to do, and these are the things that I'm going to believe on and believe for, and I'm going to treat myself and pray, and I'm going to work in the physical world out there as well to move away from this situation, you know, miraculous things can happen. And that's what he's talking about. Just like you said, I mean, inventions and, you know, new forms of doing things and, you know, brand new, more ethical ways of approaching life can be had, and so on, right? But if you continue to focus on what's going on outside, what's wrong, what's keeping you down, what's, you know, what's keeping you unhealthy, and all these different things, you're just going to build more of that. Really, that's the long and short of this whole thing. You know, that this, you're going to build a hell within, and you're going to live in a hell without, outside in your life. You know, and he's saying, look, you can live in a somewhat of a hellish circumstance, the outside, as long as you keep that heaven within, you know, you'll gradually begin to reform that world around you, or you'll find a place where you can live freely in the way that you want, or you can recreate a system that you don't like, what have you. You know, miraculous things can happen. That's the beauty of it. So we always have that deep ability within ourselves, but we have to remember that. We have to reach down and find that spiritual part of ourselves. And sometimes it's very difficult, isn't it, Chris?
It is. And, you know, just because it is the world of appearances doesn't mean it's not real. He even says that.
Yeah.
They are real states of mind.
Yeah.
The appearance is that it can appear like that's all there is, that there aren't other options.
Yeah.
Or that it's so monolithic or so powerful or so systemic that, you know, your chances of really, you know, beating it on its own terms are nearly impossible. And they might be. Look at David and Goliath. You know, David did not beat the giant by being bigger than Goliath. Mm-mm. That was physically impossible.
No.
But he was smarter, and he had a very specific tactic he used to wound and then bring down this giant. So also to keep in mind that, you know, this is an inside job. It moves from the inside out. And I'd like to just take a second about going to the title, and he's talking about swing doors. Mm-hmm. There are no locks or fastenings upon them, meaning that you cannot be kept or locked inside, if you're in this hellish side of the door, and there's no lock or latch that keeps you from entering the door to heaven.
Yeah.
Or to a happier thing. It's probably the same door, just depends which way you're
going.
Yeah,
well, yeah,
but
exactly,
it's a push.
Right? Yeah, it's a push.
It's a push forward, which I think is a really interesting, it's not resisting. You're pushing forward to where you want to go through
mm-hmm.
the doorway, the threshold, to the other side. So there's action, there's effort, but the effort is forward,
yeah,
toward where you want to go.
Well, there's intention.
There's
intention,
yeah,
also, and belief that you can walk through that move through that space, right? You're not stuck. I mean, if think about this, if you looked at that door and thought, well, that I can't get through that door, you know, you could just stop yourself from going through it, even though there's no obstruction there. It's not locked. If you in your mind thought, though, that door is locked and I can't get through it, you stop yourself from even beginning the movement towards it. You won't even move towards it, let alone go through it, right?
Yeah, well, why even try?
Why even try?
It's a door.
It's a door.
I can't move that thing.
Yeah. But I think that's where these appearances get the best of us sometimes. We think, well, how can I, you know, do this thing that I want to do? You know, I dream of having my own community of like-minded individuals, and we're going to, you know, raise organic food and, you know, live in a gift economy, and we're going to get out of the rat race, and we're going to do something, you know, different and more ethical and, you know, not, you know what I'm saying? Something that's not of the ordinary, in essence, in this particular time and place that we live in. And then you look around you and you're like, well, the world's filled with Walmarts and, you know, oil companies and, you know, and this, that, and the other thing. And how can I possibly do what I want to do? That stops you. So you don't even try. The paradigm, you know, the outside world, the appearances stop you from even making that effort, because you think those appearances are the only way things can be. And it's not true. It's an appearance. It's a constructed reality that we all participate in. You have to remember that. It's like the Matrix. We've all created this environment, this culture, this world that we live in. And certainly we were born into it. And certainly there's other aspects to it. But when you realize, like, it's a created environment, it's something we believe in and something we, you know, we participate in mostly through our minds and our souls, then you realize, well, if that's the case, then if I change within, I can step out of that reality, make something new, or mold that reality into something that works for me. And again, like we were talking about in our last show, we were talking about inner and outer systems. It's a lot like Neo, when he understands like the Matrix is not something real, that once you get out of the Matrix, then you can go back into it and you can do these miraculous things in it that you couldn't do before because you were caught up in the constraints of it. You know what I mean?
I do. And that's part of the construct,
yeah,
of, you know, whether it's a simulation we live in or some digital, you know, reality, and we're all sleeping somewhere hooked up to a machine. It's as real as we want to make it. And it's always presented as a real thing. And if there are powers that be, they don't want people to wake up and to see what's going on, because, you know, then
it's not in their best
interest.
They'll
be independent.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So there's a lot invested in that.
Exactly.
You know, but it's amazing how powerful, and there's just, you know, so many examples, you know, big ones with revolution, or, you know, releasing from an oppressive regime, for a nation of millions of people, like happened in India, it happened in the colonies and the United States, well, you know, what became the United States, I guess, the British rule. And, you know, you're, whoa, how can you go up against, you know, Mother Russia, or how can you go up against, you know, the crown? You know, you can, but it's not, again, it's not a direct thing. It's not, oh, somebody's using brute force to keep me down. Well, I'm going to use brute force to lift myself up and put them down. It's a different kind of, we talked about,
yes,
judo, I think,
yeah,
recently.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You're like the Matrix, you're using the rules and you're using the underlying elements that are involved, but you're using them to your advantage. And as a suggestion, if, say, you are in a difficult job or you're stuck in a seemingly oppressive relationship of any kind, don't try to, at least initially, don't try to come out with your guns blazing and fight overtly. This is kind of a covert operation. You know, get it square in your mind. Do it quietly. Do it when no one's looking. And imagine, put yourself there and get the feeling of what moving freely would be like if you feel you're constrained. Feel what happiness and joy would be like for you, even if you have a boss that yells at you every time you come in and undermines your work. Do it. It's a kind of a private, quiet thing, especially at first. Now, momentum will come up, then you'll be keyed in, you'll be tuned in. It's like a vibration, you know, or a frequency. You know, if you're on this channel that says, oh, things are rough, things are tough, can't fight City Hall, you know, what are you going to do? Go up against the boss? Or, oh, gosh, I'll never break free of this relationship. That's one way to think. Mm-hmm. But you can still be in that very troubling, problematic situation. And at the same time, you're devoting any free minute you have to reimagine that thought, re-feel that feeling, like you said, every minute, every hour, every day, over and over again. No one has to even know you're doing it.
Yeah.
Now, at some point, it'll reach critical mass and you'll quit your job or you'll leave this or you'll just move on to something better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it will very much happen in the outer world of appearances. But it starts on the inside.
Starts on the inside.
And it has to be very, very strong, will and commitment to that feeling and that vision of something better.
That's it right there. Very good. Very good. Well, I think we're actually at the end of this one. Tell that dog hello. I appreciate his input each week. So wake up, arise, awake, let thy light shine. And I'm going to just nail it down with last couple of sentences he has. The way out of hell is to begin thinking thoughts of health, happiness, and success at this very moment, and to keep it up hour after hour and day after day in spite of all appearances. If only you will do this with determination, you will be through the swing doors and out of your difficulties before you know what has happened. So have faith, keep praying, keep affirming, keep thinking positive thoughts and moving forward and doing the work you need to do. Thank you, Chris. Great insight today. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Join us on Sunday for our show. Check out both of our books. Chris's book is The Spirit in the Sky. That's available on Amazon or at chrissheridan.com. My book is If You Can Worry, You Can Meditate. You can find that on Amazon as well. Check us out at cosmiceye.org or at anchor.fm/cosmiceye if you would like to support us, and we hope you will. Financially, you can just make a small donation there to help keep us moving forward and keep the positive messages getting out to the world. All right. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Goodbye and God bless.